1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I want you to see the first four words, and God hath set. You know, in home economics, that was a long time ago. But I remember they taught us how to set the table. Now, I've seen people do it other ways than the way I do it. But I've been all these years following the pattern, the instruction that was given when I was 12 or 13. That you put the fork on the left, the knife on the right, turned towards the plate, the blade, and the spoon next to the knife. Now, when we set the table, we put it in that particular order. We do it that particular way. Now, if you came home and found cookie crumbs all over the rug and orange juice poured out, and somebody let the dog in, and, you know, after yesterday, he put his wet paw prints everywhere, your first question would be, who did this? Unless you only had one child. That's what you want to know, isn't it? Who did this? Well, God's going to organize the church so the church can fulfill the commission he left her. He said, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Now, you may first thing people say is, but I'm not going anywhere. Sure you are. Your world may be narrower than others, but there are people in your world that you can go to. In the world where you function, you carry a testimony, a witness. Well, God had an organizational plan for the church so that when we go, we're ready. Have you ever been somewhere and you weren't ready? You know somebody's out in the car blowing the horn? And you grab your purse and your earrings in one hand. And you dash towards the car. When we get out in the world, we want to be ready to share, ready to tell, ready to declare, ready to give. We want to know how to hear from the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not that you would be making a fool of yourself. Sometimes we're making God look bad. I want to say, and y'all don't blame this on God, okay? I didn't have it together. We want to be ready. Say ready.
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 Well, God had a plan to get the church ready. And if we read this, it says God set. He had certain ministry gifts, officials that he placed in the church for what purpose? To get us ready. So we'd be ready. So that when God calls upon us to do something, say something, be somewhere, stand strong, we're ready. Say ready.
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 Well, I so appreciate these gifts. They are listed here. I want you particularly see the one that's called governments. That would be the gift of the pastor. And I want to talk to you today about the gift that God placed in the pastor. Now, he gave us apostles and he gave us prophets. God said. And he gave us evangelists and teachers. God said. This is God's order. This is the way he placed people in the body of Christ so that all of we who would honor God's method of growth in the church would be ready to fulfill his commission. I want to be ready. Don't you want to be ready? Now look at Ephesians chapter 4, where the list is slightly different. And it says, Jesus gave. God set. Who set? Who ordered it? Who said this is the way it is? Now this is Jesus gave certain gifts to the church. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. These are the gifts of Christ. Verse 11, and he gave. Who gave? Jesus gave. Who set? God set. Whose idea is this? Who did this?
God.
Who did this?
God.
Who did this?
God.
Why? You know, last year I got a wonderful bouquet of flowers when the florist came to the door. I gave it a brief thought. I said, you know, it's not my birthday. It's not our anniversary. We live way off the beaten path, and I thought the florist is lost. That's what I really thought. She must be lost, the delivery. So they asked me, was I Becky Cumbie? And I said, yes. And I thought, Well, first thing I want to do is set the flowers down. They were quite nice. Open the card and say, who did this? Well, it said Love Wayne. Well, I thought about that a minute and I thought, why'd you do that? I couldn't wait till he got home. It's not my birthday. It's not our anniversary. It's not a memorial date of any sort. Now open the card. I know who did it. I want to know why. Wouldn't you want to know why? Well, he had a new secretary and she received flowers at the office. And he said, oh, is it your birthday? She said, no. Oh, is it you and your husband's anniversary? She said, no. She said, he sends me flowers just every now and then because he loves me. Aww. And she looked at Wayne and she said, don't you do that? Say, thank God for good secretaries. Well, she put it on his calendar. He goes to the office, his calendar flips up his appointments for the day, and he flipped up his calendar that day, and it said, today's the day to send wife flowers. I said, so technically these came from her. And he said, no, I called the florist myself. Now, why did God give us gifts in the church? Because anytime you get two or more people together to accomplish a task, somebody's got to be in charge. Have you noticed what happens if nobody's in charge? My. So in the local church, God put the pastor in charge, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he called it governments. If you check the translations, they say organizers, managers, administrators, those capable of leading. Now God calls, God selects, and he empowers. It's not natural talent, natural ability. Though we appreciate natural talent. But it's a calling of God, an anointing of God, a selection of heaven. Who set?
God.
And who gave?
God.
Whose idea is this?
God.
Who did this?
God.
You know, sometimes we have a struggle with church hierarchy. We don't like the way they're doing it. But whose idea was it? Who put pastors in charge? You know, you need to take your complaint to the right person. Woo! Now, here's why he did it. It's in Ephesians 4. It's a magnificent passage of Scripture. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may what? May what? God put pastors in the church so the saints, the body of Christ, can grow. We grow individually and we grow corporately. We grow in unity. We grow in ability to work together. Now it says to perfect the saints or to mature the saints. Another way of saying that we are supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow up. You know, and I know Christians, I'm just absolutely certain unless they change suddenly, that we're going to have to carry them through the golden gate. They won't be able to walk, never have walked by themselves. I know that's why the scripture says comfort the feeble-minded. That's right. It's talking about those who are weak, those who struggle, those who can't get it together. Well, he says don't kick them in the shins. Pick them up, help them.
Amen.
But I don't want to be one of those, do you?
No.
I want to grow up. I want to grow strong in the Lord. It says, I'm to be the same height as Jesus is. That's talking about in the spirit. Although far a few inches taller, it wouldn't hurt my feelings either. I've said for years about Wayne and I, we grow together in the faith, reaching to the height of the full stature of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. I got it from this scripture. And that's for all of us. We're going to grow together in the faith. Well, the way we grow together is by listening to the leadership that God selects, that He calls, that He ordains, that He appoints and anoints. And allowing leadership to lead and being a diligent follower. Not too concerned about leadership today. I want us to be diligent followers. You know, at my church, I'm a helper. They'll ask me to do something, and I say, sure. I'm a helper there. I'm to enhance the vision of the pastor there. And if he calls me or has somebody call me, see, I'm not offended by chain of command. Don't you be offended by chain of command. Pastor can't do everything. I say, sure, I'll do it. Because he's there to help me to grow. And if I help his vision come to pass, guess what happens? I grow. Isn't that amazing? I grow. And then when God asks me to do something, I'm ready. Amen. Say ready.
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 You know, a rebellious man's never ready. A selfish man's never ready. And we use the term man generically. That includes ladies too. Never ready. But God said, I want you to be perfected. I want you to mature. I want you to grow. I do not want you to continue to be children. He said, I want the work of the ministry accomplished. And I put these five offices in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the house of God, the temple of God. We are the church of the living God, you and I. And the church is not a building, but it's the people who gather here. This building wouldn't function if you weren't here. It's not that a building functions and declares the gospel. It's that the people, the church, gathers. The temples of God all come together, and every individual temple becomes a corporate temple. And they look towards the leadership that God has selected, that God has appointed, ordained, declared, and say, what do you want me to do, Pastor? Yes. And then I grow. It's amazing. By yielding, I grow. Yes. By yielding, I grow. And I have done some unusual things because they asked me to. I've done a couple things I knew I couldn't do. You know, not really my cup of tea, that's what we'd say. Oh, no, not me. I always say, sure I will, I'll give it a try. I haven't said no but once or twice in the last 15 years. Because that's the local assembly that God gave to me. He said Jesus gave gifts. That's the gift that he gave to me. And I open that gift and I cooperate with the gift. And I enhance the gift by standing by his or her side and doing that which would enable all of us to go into all the world and declare the gospel. Amen. I'm a part. You know, if you get up one morning and some part of your body decides to rebel. You ever had that happen? Me too. Thank God for healing. And it doesn't matter if you got up in the middle of the night, tripped in the dark, and stumped your toe. Your entire body is on alert. And your mind begins to tilt. And your husband will say, or your wife will say, what's wrong with you? There's a difference in your demeanor, your response, your reaction. You're not yourself today. And it was only that you stomped your toe. Is that ridiculous? Do you know that's how important you are to the body of Christ? Did you know your part is important here? And it doesn't mean that the only thing that bothers me is when my stomach rebels. Or maybe my lungs rebel. No, it just takes a toe. You can cut your finger on a piece of paper. For 10 minutes, you're going, ho, 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 ho. Because your part is important. You are important here. Now, you can't run things, forget it. Nobody appointed you to run anything. If they want you to run something, they'll say so. But you yield and you're cooperative to the pastor, the manager, the orchestrator. You know, in a large orchestra, I love orchestra. I love music. I was raised, my father's a musician. And I like real music. Now, I like other music, but I still like Beethoven, Bach, Mozart. And I was in my car. Somebody gave me a Beethoven. I believe it was my son. Christmas before last. And I was running some errands and had Beethoven going. Oh, I thought I was in heaven. I love that. Beethoven's The Tempest. Well, you'll probably not like that. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I don't like that somebody done somebody wrong song. And it's not good for your heart. Well, you know the orchestra conductor, you may have seen him as you're flipping your channels real quick. He's not making the music. He isn't. But if he's not standing up there, no music. It takes the cooperative effort of every musician and the man in charge to stand up there and beat the music and call the time. I was praying for a lady. I don't know, I just had a sense that something wasn't in order. I didn't know anything. I thought, well, I'm going to pray for her because it seems to me like all's not well there. I don't know, but it seems that way. And I began to pray, and I heard in the spirit. That doesn't mean I heard an audible voice. You might hear an audible voice. I've only heard the audible voice of the Lord one time. You know when you hear the audible voice of the Lord? When you're in big trouble. So don't be envious of people hearing voices. But I heard in my spirit, she's off beat. Now, if you're not a musician, I'm not much of a musician. I do tell you that my daddy tried. With rigid determination, I took 8 years of piano lessons. And I do not play the piano, okay? Don't even ask. My granddaughter wanted to play. She said, Memes, teach me Three Blind Mice. I can't even play Three Blind Mice. I said, I don't know that one. I just know that first one we learned, you know, here we go to a birthday party. You know that one? Did anybody know that song? Played that song? Sure you did. If you're my age, that's the one they started, Joan. Well, offbeat doesn't mean she didn't have the right song. She did have the right music, the right song. Doesn't mean she was in the wrong key. She was in the right key on the right song. It's like some of you when you clap. We're all going, and there's this one person that's in between every clap. They were in front of me last Sunday. Never did catch on, never. Never did know that they were not with the group. Just having a wonderful time in the Lord, just clapping at random. It wasn't that they didn't love God. It wasn't that they weren't in the right place. It wasn't that their heart wasn't right. It was they were a little bit off beat. Now, if we're a little bit off beat, we're not ready. You know you've gone somewhere with your children, and one of them's a little bit off beat. You remember that day? And it's like you're shopping, diligently shopping. I'm becoming a catalog person myself. That's easier. And you look around, supposed to have three and there's only two. One, two, one, two. I know that happens because I was in a department store with a little boy, real little, being in diapers, who wasn't even mine. So I thought, and there's nobody anywhere. He was headed out into the mall, and I didn't think that's a good idea. So I picked him up, and I looked around. There's nobody. I mean, nobody anywhere. He was one and a half or so. He couldn't even talk to me. So I turned him into the clerk, and I said, I found this little boy. He was going out in the mall. He seems to be alone. She said, where'd you take him from? I said, pardon me? Now I got news for you, that woman's offbeat. Because if I wanted a child, I'd have another grandchild. I certainly wouldn't steal one. Just a little offbeat. Well, if you're offbeat, guess what? You're not ready. Now here's this wonderful gift, the pastor. Governments, he's called the governor. You know what his job is? Get us ready, keep everybody on beat. Everybody claps together. Thank God for him. Thank God for him. Now turn over to Acts chapter 20. We're going to grow up, aren't we? Going to follow leadership, aren't we? Going to quit complaining, aren't we? I said, how'd you know I was complaining? I didn't. Chapter 20. Verse 28, this is talking about pastors. In the scripture, they're called shepherds, pastors, elders, and bishops. We can validate for you, though we won't do that this morning. That's all the same office. When the church began in Acts, there were no pastors. There were apostles. And so they took elders. They appointed men who were mature in the Lord to lead the church until pastors could be called and developed. So when it addresses elders, it addresses them exactly as it later on addresses pastors, which sometimes it calls bishops. So a pastor, a shepherd, an elder, or a bishop is all the same thing in the scripture. Now verse 28 says, take heed, talking to the elders, take heed, therefore unto yourself and to the flock. In other words, watch the flock. We are the flock, the sheep, the church, over which the Holy Ghost made you what? Overseer. What does an overseer do? He oversees, doesn't he? He watches. He superintends. And he said, now take heed to the flock. Watch the flock. Why? Because some of us are offbeat. You know, I am so grateful for Holy Ghost pastors. Now, I've been in church since I started in church nurseries. We were raised in church. And I have seen some things. But a few times I've been rescued by a godly pastor who knew God and sensed that I needed help. I remember one time we were desperate for money. Not sort of desperate, almost desperate. I mean, the cry of our heart was, now, God, now we need money. Never said a word to anybody. We went forward. We didn't know too much about faith. We were learning. We didn't come into Pentecost till we were in our 30s. And we went to a rehearsal of some kind at the church. And somebody from the staff said, Pastor sent you this envelope. It's years ago. Guess what was in it? Money. You can't stay on beat without money. And here's a godly pastor who sensed our need. He didn't ask me if we needed anything. I didn't tell him I needed anything. I remember one time being mad. I mean, I was mad, 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 mad. I don't get mad too often, but I'm real good at it. And I was just really mad, but I didn't realize I was mad. You know, over a period of 2 or 3 months, there had been a thing brewing. We won't discuss it, but it had been growing. And so I got mad gradually, so I didn't realize how mad I was. So after 3 months, I thought, you know, next time I see my pastor, and I've had lots of pastors, I'm going to ask him if he has a concept, an idea, if he knows what we might do here. So I passed him one day, and I said, Pastor. And I explained it to him. And he said, Becky, you're mad. You know what I did? I was right in his face. I said, I'm not mad. I'm so glad he pointed that out to me. You know, I went away thinking, Pastor doesn't see things clearly. I don't know what's the matter with him. That is exactly what I thought. And the next day, we had another encounter with the person who was causing the fire. And I pointed my finger as I do when I'm really riled, and I'm going to tell them a thing or two. And I heard that voice say, Becky, you're mad. And I thought, you are so right. Oh, thank God for pastors. Yeah. Thank God for government. Thank God for orchestrators. Thank God for somebody in charge, somebody that is here to pull the sheep together to see that every sheep functions perfectly, that everybody's ready, that nobody's offbeat. Thank God. Yes. Thank God. Thank God. When I think of pastors, I don't think about murmuring and complaining. I wish you'd do this. I wish you'd do that. I say, oh, thank you, God. Yes. Thank you. That's the man that sent me the money. That's the man that pointed out to me that I was so mad when I didn't know I was mad. That's the man. One of the staff in the flower bed. I love church staff. They take on the spirit of the man. Yes. I'm not offended when pastor doesn't come because the staff takes on the spirit of the man. Yes. And they're a gift. Yes. And one of the staff was in the flower bed putting in new dirt. And I had a headache. I mean a real headache. I had migraines till I was 30, got baptized, Holy Ghost, never had another migraine. The Holy Ghost quickens this mortal body. I'm not having another one. But I've had a couple of chances to yield, and I really knew I was getting a migraine that day, and I thought, I'm going by church, get somebody to pray for me. Thank God. Thank God. Somebody's in charge there. Somebody knows God there. Somebody there loves me. You know, a lady came. I'll get back to my headache. She's brand new to the church. They asked me to help her. She had a question, so I told her who it was and said, can I help you? And she told me the question. I answered the question, and she said, do you know, this pastor really loves me. Do you know the pastor didn't even know her? Why did she think he loved her? Because there is in the heart of every God-called pastor, a love for the sheep. Now turn to John 10 quick. We can't do everything this morning. A love for the sheep. And she only been there 2 or 3 weeks, and she sensed the love of God that flowed from the pastor. And she said, you know, pastor loves me. I knew what she meant. He'd never met her. If I'd gone to him and described her, he wouldn't know who I was talking about. But she knew she was loved. See, it's supernatural. It's divine. That's why we reverence pastor. That's why we pray for him. If you had this many sheep to superintend, to orchestrate, to watch over, everybody you passed, you'd be saying, pray for me. Pray for me. Y'all pray for me. You know it doesn't take but one obnoxious sheep to get on your nerves. I mean, it doesn't take a whole group of people out of sync. It just takes one persistent sheep before you want to say, I don't know about the rest of them. A couple of times I want to say, I quit. Ten, 11, I am the good shepherd. These are the words of Jesus. Shepherd's a pastor. Say, pastor. Shepherd. Bishop, elder. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, that's not simply talking about Jesus dying for sin. He's talking about a shepherd, a good shepherd, loves the sheep, tends to the sheep, superintends the sheep, watches over the sheep. And he said, I'm watching. I'm watching. That's how that man knew we needed money so desperately. Because in the spirit, you can't know everything in the natural. And even if you had spies out there who would bring you word and you would write it down, you still couldn't do everything and remember everything. But in the spirit, he's watching over the sheep. I remember we had a little dilemma. It was a Saturday. It took me by surprise. I mean, it really took me by surprise. And I didn't know what to do. We had a meeting at the church. I went and sat on the second row, minding my own business. They were going to do some praying. I closed my eyes. I couldn't even concentrate. I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world? What will we do? What will we do? What will we do? What will we do? And suddenly I knew somebody sat down beside me. I sniffed out the cologne. I knew who it was by the smell. So I pretended like I was praying. And I was sitting there saying, Lord, what am I going to do? 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 Well, then I cranked up. I said, Oli, Billy, no, say, because this man sitting next to me. Well, afterwards, we left. We went across the parking lot to our car, and he came running out the door, which I've never seen this man do before or since. He waved me down. He said, come here, let's drive around the block. Oh, thank God for Holy Ghost pastors. Thank God he loves the sheep. Thank God he wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you ready. He wants to see you mature. He's watching over you. He's superintend. When I go to the Father, I say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, let's ride around the block. And so we rode around the block. And he said, what in the world's the matter with you? So I told him. And he said, I know it looks really bad. And I'm telling you, it did too. He said, but I want to tell you, by the Holy Ghost, it's going to turn out all right. And guess what? Oh, thank God. Thank God. Now, we felt led to go have dinner with a pastor, and we called and set it up for Saturday lunch some time ago. And we went down, we had lunch, and the pastor said after lunch, he said, well, I got to go by church, and I got some work to do. I thought he meant studying and praying. He said, I've got to clean the church for tomorrow's services. I was just devastated. I said, you're going to what? He said, I got to go clean the church. I said, don't you have some people that help you? One thing I like about this place is your helpers are efficient, effective. You'd be so proud of them. He's going to go run the vacuum, clean the bathrooms, and polish the brass for tomorrow's service. I said, not while I'm here, you're not. A pastor behind the vacuum is a pastor who didn't pray, who might have missed an offbeat sheep that needed to be drawn in and rescued. So Wayne and I went. We said, we'll help you. Now, here's the startling thing. It took us an hour, the three of us. And he was so startled, he said, I really appreciate you helping me. I had to insist. He said, no, I do this all the time. It's all right, I can do it. I said, no, you'll not do it today. Another city, another place. He said, wow, that only took us an hour. Now, how long would it have taken if he had been alone? 3 hours. Who's watching the sheep? You know, it would help you if you'd read a book on sheep. I'm not talking about a spiritual book. I'm talking about a book on sheep, four-legged animals, sheep. Because sheep are easily off-balanced. And if they get turned over, they cannot turn themselves back up. If they fall in a hole or if they're carrying young and they get turned over, they're there unless the shepherd finds them, picks them up, and stands them on their feet. That's why you have so many references in the scripture to the shepherd going out and finding the sheep and carrying them back. And while that shepherd's carrying them back, see, he's massaging the legs and the muscles to get the circulation going so that when he stands the sheep down, she'd be able to walk and go forward. Now, while pastor's vacuuming, who's turning over the sheep? Now, I want to show you something quickly. Turn to Romans. Oh, thank you, Father. I am so grateful. You know, I fretted over this Bible lesson. I felt led to do it. And yet I knew in the natural I couldn't make it float, you know, how you just know. Maybe you don't know, but I'm not very smart. And I said, Holy Ghost. Now here's how you begin to pray. You know, it tells us to pray for leadership. God set leadership in the church. He set pastor in the church. Chapter 1, verse 8. Paul's getting ready to pray, and he says, first means one. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. What is he going to do first? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:4. We're just going to run through the scripture real quick. He's getting ready to pray for the church at Corinth. You do remember he had some things to say to the church of Corinth, that he's going to be stringent with them about adultery and fornication in the church, about the misuse of tongues. And he says, I thank my God always on your behalf. He began with thanksgiving. Say, thanksgiving is prayer. Thanksgiving is prayer. You know, a lot of times we begin by murmuring and complaining, making our requests, the same requests we made yesterday and day before. He said, first, then here he said, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge. He started by thanking God for the good things that he saw. He didn't start by saying, I'm going to tell you, you better run that fornicator out of the church. He did say that. But that's not where it began. You know, sometimes people come and they have a troubled marriage. And the husband or the wife don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do the other. I just like to turn things right side up and get our perspective clear. I said, has your husband ever refused to bring his paycheck home, quit his job, not worked? She said, oh, no. Always comes home. I said, you have to worry about him going to the bars? Oh, no, he would never do that. Does he ever beat you? No, no. Do you have to worry about the safety of your children? Oh, never, never. See, first we begin with thanksgiving. She may be ticked off with that man, woman. But he doesn't beat them. He fully supports them. He doesn't drink. Now when I pray, I say, I thank you, Father, for this man. First, now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to get it. You know, if you'd quit complaining about your situation, start thanking God, He turned around for you. There's a pattern in the Scripture that is so distinct and so repetitive, you can't miss it. Paul's getting ready to pray. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love unto all the saints, cease not to what? Making mention of you in my prayers. Now, he's going to ask God to give him the spirit of wisdom, to give him real revelation and insight. But before he does that, he said, I thank God for your faith. I heard about your faith. Thank God for your faith. Thank God for your faith. I remember in sixth grade complaining to my mother about a little kid in my class. And I told her everything I thought was wrong with him. I remember mothers, and they were all right too. You know my description at sixth grade was totally accurate. I remember my mother's words. She says, Becky Sue, when you go to school tomorrow, check and see if he has white teeth. That's what she said. Still remember it. I did look, too. She's saying, first, before we get riled up here, anxious and worried and complaining and bitter, malicious. First, Paul said, you need some wisdom here, but thank God for your faith. Now turn over to the next book. Verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time he thought of them, what did he say? Thank God for the church of Philippi. Thank God for the saints there. Said the same thing about Ephesus. Thank God. Said the same thing about Corinth. They were in big trouble, but he said, thank God they don't come behind in the use of the gifts. He said, sure do have white teeth in Corinth. That's what he's saying. He said, I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making for you all, making requests with joy. Before he made requests, he began with thanksgiving. He is going to make some requests. He's going to pray about their love, that their love walk increase and abound. Turn over to Colossians. But before he does that, have you ever seen this before? Colossians 1 verse 3. My, this is so super. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Where did he begin? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love you have towards the saints. He began with thanksgiving. Now he's going to later on this chapter make some requests for them. He wants them to be filled with knowledge and wisdom. He wants them to walk acceptably before God. He wants them to walk a holy life. But before he made his requests, he said, I thank God for you. Now you can go through all the others. There aren't but one or two books that Paul wrote that he didn't pray for them, that he didn't say he was praying for them, that he didn't say I'm going to win with thanksgiving. That's where he always began, with thanksgiving. Now, when I pray for pastor, where am I going to begin? Ah, with what?
Thanksgiving.
And thanksgiving is prayer. Sometimes we don't think we're praying unless we're saying, help me, Jesus. Help, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need, I want, give me, do for me. I can't stand this. They can't do this to me. No, where do we begin? Where do you start? My, you got so much to be thankful for, you'd never get to your request. See, this man's called of God. Is he called of God?
Yes.
Is he anointed of God?
Yes.
Does he labor in the word?
Yes.
Does he love the sheep?
Yes.
Does he feed the sheep?
Yes.
Does he govern?
Yes.
Shh. Thanksgiving is prayer. Say that again.
Thanksgiving
is
prayer.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I always like to point out how poor we are at Thanksgiving because we can do, if we're going to make a request, it takes 30 minutes. If we're going to be thankful, it takes only two. When I could bend God's ear about my problem for 30 and I can't stand in gratitude for two, I'm offbeat. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. We used to sing, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready. I want to be full of God. We want to reach the height of the statue of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then begin by praying. Now let me give you a challenge. If you have some problem you prayed over and over again, let's do something different. Every day this week, so every day.
Every day.
Instead of addressing God about your problem, start and thank Him.
Yes.
See if you can make it to 5 minutes. Will you do that? Do you know that'll turn things around for you? First of all, it changes your heart. First thing you know, you begin to think, you know, so boy's not too bad. One lady told me she had to call her husband's office and ask if she could pick up the check because he picked up the paycheck, he spent it all, never came home with a dime. Well, I can say, thank God Wayne Cumby's never done that. Always brings the money home. You know that's important, bringing the money home. No matter what your dilemma, if you'll start with what? Start with what? Start with what? God can change you, and if He changes you, He can change your problem. You know what is the problem sometimes with our problem? It's you. It's me. Like the day I said, I'm not mad. You know who the problem was there? It wasn't this other person. It's me. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, oh Lord. So
I want to be ready.
I want to be ready. I'm going to pray with thanksgiving. I'm going to pray with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving.